Well, good morning. It's good to be back with you. I was on vacation last week, and I came back married and everything. I mean, I was already married, but I came back still married, which was really a good thing. We did this bucket list thing that I was hoping for many years, and Angie was sweet enough to accommodate, but we went on a river trip in northwest Montana in a wilderness area, and Angie was on the ground all week camping and paddling a canoe, and so she's especially glad to be back. Anyhow, really good to be with you, and if you wouldn't mind standing for the scripture reading, it's from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. He, meaning Jesus, was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thank you. You may be seated. So we're in a series on the Lord's Prayer. And the phrase for today is around praying that God's kingdom would come, that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I had the privilege of coaching kids for many years, especially in a youth wrestling league and in baseball. There was one little boy, his name was Rusty, one of the most unusual kids I ever coached. Not because he was a great athlete, because he wasn't. He wasn't strong, necessarily quick, or even all that brilliant. But he had something that transcends talent and ability. For sometimes talent is a dime a dozen, but once in a while you get a wide-eyed kid who just says, "Show me what you want me to do and I'll do it." Somebody who's teachable, receptive, eager, wanting to stay after practice in fourth grade, asking for drills to do at home, wanting to be more than he ever was before he came in the room. There was one particular time where Rusty was on a mat. He was in fourth grade, and he got a bad nosebleed. And about the third time I ran out to plug him up, I said, "Rusty, what do you say we just call it quits today?" He said, "Reverend Coach, plug the nose, say a prayer, and tell me what to do." He was tenacious. He was pliable. He was open. He was ferocious. And those qualities about him made him not only a remarkable athlete as he grew older, but an even more remarkable person. Jesus' hope for us is that we become not so much talented or bright, but teachable, open, receptive, willing to release what's been, to claim what will be. In this prayer, he teaches us a dangerous part of the prayer. He tells us to pray like this: "Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." First, I believe Jesus is talking about an objective reality, about a day that is coming, and a day that actually comes in shadows and whiffs to us now. Jesus is talking about a society where God's will is perfectly done in heaven, and it comes actually into this dimension of earth. Heaven is not just out there or over there or up there or somewhere, but Jesus said it could be here and the now, in this place, in you, that God's kingdom reign rule will come, and one day there will be no more death. Nature will be healed. All that is made that responds to God will experience grace perfecting that which it's made. Someday there will be no need to live outside of what God has originally intended. No desire for gossip, no false securities, no selfishness, no brokenness. A place where love will rule and racial lines will blur. And the fatherless will become adopted and the hungry are fed. Jesus dreams of a time when needs are met and gifts are shared with extravagance and the unwelcomed are honored and accepted. And relationship matters, and we pull for the prodigal of all people. A time when genetics are restored and cancer and sickness and diseases are done away with. Think of it, just for a moment, a time when frogs become princes, Cinderella's dance beyond midnight, and the beast becomes worthy of a beauty's love. A time when the frozen are thawed and the sleeping awaken. Jesus dreams and talks about a dimension that intersects earth, where heaven becomes its reality, where hate loses, where love wins, where betrayal is exposed and loyalty triumphs. A place where grace conquers all sin and God's redeeming rescue will thrill our hearts one day that worship captures us into a place where we're lost in the wonder of God's love for us. I want you just for a minute to consider a kingdom where God restores the symphonies and operas and children's voices that our deaf ears have once missed. I want you to think about a reign or a realm of God's presence where he restores the beauty that our blind eyes have looked over. I want you to think about a place or a setting where freedoms that are lost through blunder and selfishness come back to us again. And we have not just a second chance, but another chance. A need, a time when all needs are met, and where we love our neighbors as ourselves, and Christ will be all in all. And we don't just talk about good religion or being a little bit moral or trying to be good, but holiness, real holiness. And C.S. Lewis said if only 10% of the church had it, the real thing, the whole world would be converted within a day's time. But whatever this holiness is, it doesn't come from us manufactured, but like a fragrance from a flower or light from a sun or from like a song from a bird. Think of this now, just for a moment, a kingdom that one day is sure to come and take us over. Jesus then, I think, shifts this prayer into a subjective reality that the day could be now, that God's kingdom could come on earth as it really is in heaven. If only we would no longer call for God to be on our side, but we would relinquish our kingdoms and choose to be on God's side. Not ask God to bend his will to my will, but for me to bend my will to be a part of his movement. Rather than to tell God what his will ought to be, our aim is to be in his plan. No longer to order God to do our bidding, but for us to beg and to delight in doing his bidding. Said one theologian, prayer does not change God. This part of the Lord's Prayer changes us. The value of this consistent prayer in our life is not that he will hear us, but that we will hear him. So God is hoping, Christ is hoping as he teaches us this prayer, that we'll inherit sort of a kingdom value and that we'll pray not only for our will to be compelled upon God, but that we would see us as a part of his creation by which he wishes to delegate his will and his plan to us. For God does nothing yet in this time of himself by which he doesn't delegate through creatures or his own creation. In other words, imagine in my relationship to Angie, my wife, if I just got up in the morning and said, look, it'd be nice to talk, but I'd rather you listen. Be about time maybe you check the phone messages, go grocery shopping, make the bed, wash the windows. And by the way, in case you forgot, my favorite meal is lasagna. I love peanut butter pie. Have it ready when I'm home. You might want to stay in the front of the canoe and not look back and keep paddling. You might want to dress nicer and give me foot rubs even when my feet stink. And if you have anything to say, write it down. I'll see if I have time for it later. I've tried it, and it doesn't work well at all. At all. Prayer is more than asking God for promotions, pay raises, healing, and dates. Prayer is more than asking God for transmission repairs, the right school for our children, being fixed, healed, resolved, and moving into more secure places for our own selfish self. And as soon as possible, and to tell God that you're in a hurry. Honestly, my consciousness, when I awaken in the morning, is like an unruly stormy sea, or a whole barrel full of chattering monkeys, or a cage of butterflies. Sometimes my head is like 100 balls of mercury spilled from a thermometer that's broken. Can't seem to gather in the details of it. Prayer is something that aligns and calibrates and acclimates. Prayer is a dialogue, a relationship of reaching out to a real person and asking God for his direction for our life instead of us giving God our direction for his. Prayer is a union of souls. The goal of the prayer that Jesus teaches us is that our spirit will become in harmony with God's spirit. This world is not ours to rule it as we see fit. We are to be ambassadors for Christ, open to relinquish our wills and be in harmony with the very will of God. This morning I want to invite you, as you come to communion, to think about if God's will is to come, if his kingdom is to come, maybe one of the prerequisites of it is that our will needs to go. Our kingdom needs to go away. Maybe today is a day for us to throw away our agendas, allow God to kill our dreams, and for him to bring about a new dream in our life that will take up residence in the shape that looks something like the dream of Jesus for us. I'll close with this quick story. There was a pastor, a true story of a pastor, and seasoned guy that was moving on with his career. He moved to a small church in Kansas. He had dreams of one day seeing church growth and new services and building projects, none of which would happen. He was frustrated with God. He would kind of remind him like that he was on God's side, and why didn't he be doing more for him? He was kind of praying this prayer like, gosh, God, I mean, like, I'm one of your friends, and this is how you treat your friends. It's no wonder in America that you don't have so many left anymore. He was frustrated and disillusioned and tired and anxious. Church was shrinking. He was working hard. So one evening, he went into the church to get some stuff done, and he found a young man, 16 years old, in one of the abandoned Sunday school rooms smoking dope. This boy's name was Roger. He broke in many nights in the church because he said that was the only place in town he knew that was quiet where people never went to it. Snuck into the Sunday school room that it was abandoned, and he would get high and forget that he didn't have a dad who loved him and that his life was a wreck and that he didn't have the respect of people and teachers. He just medicated his problems in that Sunday school room. So when Reverend Jim found him in this classroom, he had this bright idea. He said to this boy, you know, everybody's trying to leave our church, and I don't have anybody trying to break in but you. He said, why don't I just give you a key so you don't have to come through a window anymore? So he told this kid anytime he was lonely and needed a place, he could come there to that Sunday school room where he found refuge. And eventually the pastor, he bought a billiards table out of his own monies, so that Roger would have something to do. He told him, invite your friends. At least the room will be used. Remarkably, in the story, this old man and this young boy build a forever relationship. It would be in that Sunday school room that Roger would find himself loved by a man for the first time in his life. It would be in that Sunday school room that he would pray to ask Christ into his heart. It would be in that Sunday school that eventually he would be mentored by this older pastor. It was in that Sunday school room that he heard God whispering to be a pastor. And Roger then eventually grew to be a United Methodist pastor, and not only that, but to chair the evangelism commission of our global church. Roger Swanson accredits it to a non-judgmental pastor who released his own dream for a burgeoning ministry and who chose to love and let an entire, dirty, banged-up little Sunday school room, a little bit of heaven, to come to earth. And it was in that place that this old man found for himself, too, that Christ's kingdom can come, that his will can be done on earth as it is in heaven. And maybe the dream of Christ for this old pastor wasn't that hundreds of people would be reached in that community. but maybe tens of thousands through the ministry of one young boy who found the deep and merciful and forgiving love of Christ. Would you pray with me? Oh God, now we will pray this dangerous, really dangerous prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.